Radio 1 Newsbeat, I'm Owen Thomas.
Radio 1, more music.
You have a perfectly round tongue, painted green, and a fountain, and a mountain, and a tunnel for me to follow, and a door inside your mind that you won't open. You're so beautiful and naive with bells on. Give me fantasy, tell me my dreams. I want so hard to please you. Many times, too many times I see everything just the way it is. Let me in, let me in, I'll give you candy. Let me in, let me in, I'll give you avocados. That's much more than most people have to offer. You have a perfectly round tongue, painted green, and a fountain, and a mountain, and a tunnel for me to follow, and a door inside your mind that you won't open. You're so beautiful and naive with bells on. Give me fantasy, tell me my dreams. The way it is, you have a perfectly round tongue, painted green, and a fountain, and a mountain, and a tunnel for me to follow, and a door inside your mind that you won't open.
From 1967, the fabulous West Coast pop art experimental band, and that's called Buddha. Mm. I think we got someone called Chewy on the phone about the advent calendar. Hello, Chewy.
Alright, how's it going?
Alright, how are you? What's that short for, Chewy?
None of your business.
Chewbacca, is it?
No, get on,
what's behind the advent calendar?
Right, Woolies, Winter Wonderland.
Yeah.
Getting ram raided.
That's quite a good idea.
Violent image, thanks a lot.
Quite a good idea. Yeah. And Sarah Owen says, why not have the four horsemen of the apocalypse holding Peter's urine smelling underpants talking to Satan? Why not? Indeed. You on, Pete?
Yeah, King Kong's eye, like, looking through...
Oh, stop. Shut up about King Kong. Anyway, we've got our next guest in the studio now. We had a husband talked about last week. It's the famous vegetarian Simpson star, Linda McCartney. How are you doing, Linda?
Hi, guys.
Hiya, Linda. Yeah, so I understand, I've heard that you've got a new roast coming out for vegetarians. It's in the shape of a roast. Mm. So they can join in with the ritual of Christmas and the meal and eat the roast. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, here's the thing. Many of main religions are involved in the ritual of slaughter, you know, like Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and Christians. So why should vegetarians miss out on this whole element? It's not fair on vegetarians. So I've developed an entire full-size cow-shaped, completely meat-free, soya-based creature full of soya blood, which when stabbed will bleed.
What, a whole cow?
A living soya creature.
Yeah, right. And you know what? I got to thinking, why stop there? Yeah. You know, vegetarians who want to go through the whole ritual of hunting, you know, I mean, you can't stalk an aubergine.
That
you can't chase a courgette. It's not fair for vegetarians.
Sometimes they're hard
fair.
To find in the shops, so
yeah,
there's an element
sure.
of pursuit.
Sure. So, like, I decided to make a version of the soya cow with a sophisticated computer brain, so it can actually move around, graze, it's intelligent, it can feel fundamental basic things like warmth and light, and of course pain.
You seem to seem to be wanting this. Is this the cow we have here in the studio? I thought
that's
that was...
That's right.
I assume that was a real cow.
No, this is my...
That doesn't sound much like a moo.
That's my computerized cow there. Right. I mean, now the vegetarian can have the pleasure of seeming to kill a defenseless creature without upsetting their sensitive
conscience. Yeah, but I mean, I'm a vegetarian and I don't want to kill a creature. I wouldn't want to kill it.
No, I spent a long time developing this for people like you. I think that's very selfish of you.
Is that all you've got then, just creatures?
No, I also thought for people who want to, I've created a tofu man.
Why?
For people who want to get involved in maybe cannibalistic rituals,
what?
But they don't want to eat.
It's not funny. You're insane. You're like some kind of.
No, it's a good idea.
Linda's, they don't want to eat real people.
If Linda's tofu man had been available some years ago, perhaps the tragedy of Jeffrey Dahmer would not have happened. You know, he wouldn't have had to go to such crazy lengths, Rich. The tofu man.
I find this appalling.
Would you kill the cow?
I'm not going to kill the cow. I'm a vegetarian.
But it is a vegetarian.
I'm sorry. Stop this, Linda McCartney. Let's see what's happening in the world. Shut up. What's happening in the world of hobby?
Hello. Do you recognise my voice? Do you? Do you? Well, if you don't, then you are stupid, because the voice you are hearing is the voice of me, Simon Quinlack, the godfather of hobby, and I have returned to your ears with a new hobby. And this hobby is not new to me. I have been doing the hobby for ages, but the hobby is new to you, you hobby fetus. What you will need for this hobby: the Antiques Roadshow Guide to Antiques, a map showing the location of museums and stately homes, a flask of weak lemon drink, and a big hammer. Ha! 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 This hobby is a good hobby if you have a slight interest in the past, but have more interest in the future of the world being good and correct, and have a secret disdain for all things old. I got the idea for this hobby from the foolish 19th century historical figures, the Luddites. They smashed up futuristic looms because they liked doing stuff the old-fashioned way, the 19th century fools. Time has proven their actions futile and stupid, for one must never stop progress. However, the Luddites could so easily have been seen by history as the kings of cleverness if they had only smashed the old, useless tools of the past so new things could prosper and grow. Thus, I have learned from their stupid mistake by making this hobby to be the antique-smashing hobby. What you must do: first, you must find an antique. Remember, for something to be an antique in the true sense of the word, it must be at least 100 years old. I remember Neil Petar gleefully regaling me with the story of how he smashed a beautiful Art Deco figurine of a tiny dancing woman draped in silk. But alas, the look of shame and humiliation when I informed him that as Art Deco was not invented until the 1920s, he had signally failed to do this hobby correctly. The Antiques Roadshow Guide to Antiques is a useful companion to this hobby, as it informs the antique smasher of the history and worth of the antique he or she is about to smash. How to do the hobby: go to an antiques fair or museum or stately home. Today, I have come to Longleat House, the ancestral home of Lord Bath. There should be some rare antique treasures here. Drink your weak lemon drink now whilst you are in the grounds, as the lords and curators of these museums do not like people eating or drinking near their priceless displays. Remember, when you are doing any hobby, to have consideration for other people's beliefs. Once inside the stately home or museum, try and find an old thing. Bah! These rubbish, ugly, multicoloured pictures of bare people by Lord Bath could not be 100 years old, because Lord Bath is only about 50. I do need to find something older. Ah! This old vase looks old. Excuse me, old woman guide?
Yes?
This old vase is very beautiful. Tell me, how old is it? Answer me!
Oh, well, I'm so glad you spotted that. It's very rare and very beautiful.
Answer the question! How old is it?
Well, it was crafted in the reign of King George III, and it is over 150 years old, and now the only such vase in existence. It's priceless, you know.
Oh, how interesting. Yes. Smash it! Smash the beautiful vase! Smash it with its horrid old antique candles! This hobby is an excellent hobby, as it gives one great pleasure to think of all the time and trouble the person who made the antique went to, which makes me smashing it all the more exciting. Also, only in destroying find I ease. Some people say the hobby is stupid, as there are only a limited amount of antiques, and once they are all smashed to bits, the hobby is over and no one else will be able to enjoy doing the hobby, making the hobby a selfish hobby. But of course, people who say that are forgetting the linear nature of time as we perceive it. To wit, every day is the 100th anniversary of the creation of some artifact that previously wasn't an antique in the true sense of the word, but suddenly has become one. So this is a hobby that can be enjoyed by many thousands of generations to come. And it is good anyway. Do your hobbies. Listen to me! Do the hobbies! Do them! Do the hobbies!
Simon Quinlack's running out of ideas a bit, I think, Stu. That's the same as egg smashing, but with antiques in it.
Basically.
I think we should have Simon Quinlack killed off. Me and Stu think this. If you agree, it's you, the jury. Do you think Simon Quinlack should die in next week's hobby? If you think so, write in and say. If you don't think not, disagree, then write in and say right into Room 1006 Broadcasting House, etc.
Yeah.
Simon Quinlack, dead or alive?
We went digging around in the Radio 1 archive again after we enjoyed the Pixies last week, and this is a Radio 1 John Peel session from October 1979 that features lead vocals from someone in this room.
Really?
Who is it?
I don't know. Could it be Kevin Eldon?
Could it be Kevin Eldon? This is Telephone Box by Virginia Dozen.
It is.
It is, mate.
You weren't expecting that, were you, Kev? That's you.
The actor Kevin Eldon there singing. What was it like in the old punk days, Kev?
Fantastic. You know, there was no sexually transmitted diseases.
Right.
Flares.
You're a rebel, isn't
that? What's it like hearing that again?
It's very refreshing, actually. Very refreshing.
Going to the... to the...
Not off.
But Virginia doesn't know with telephone books.
Back in the days when a phone call cost 2p.
It did.
And yeah. Kevin Eldon was an adult.
How old was he? In about 9 then.
Oh, I was 3 then.
Were you?
Yeah. Just late enough. Developer. This was well, out of the blue, I'd like everyone to know. They sprang that on me.
If you'd like to hear more from Virginia Doesn't, the thing to do would be to write to Clive Selwood's Strange Fruit label, who re-released John Peel Sessions. And if it does well, perhaps we can take a commission off Kev for any success that he might have.
Or just listen to the Buzzcocks, it's quicker.
Yeah,
the
you can do that. Yeah, probably
it's the height of rudeness.
Ian Bell's rung in from, he's Cornish and he's called Ian. He thinks, topically, that behind the thing should be a picture of Kevin and some hair.
That's
so
right.
There we go.
Moving on, we're about to take a lengthy look at the way that two different teachers can teach in two very different ways in a London comprehensive. Yeah, prepare yourself for a Leon Herring look at education.
We don't need no education.
We got Kennedy.
Bad luck, we've got Harris.
Right, now, listen in. You've got me down on your timetables as Mr. Kennedy. Now, some teachers say, oh, don't call me sir, call me Mr. Harris. Think you know which member of staff I'm talking about, yeah? Mr. Harris. But what I say is, don't call me sir, don't call me Mr. Kennedy, call me by my name. And my name is Ian, right? Oh, what's this? It's the timetable. Yeah. Oh, dear. I ripped it up. Did you see? Yeah. Now, last year, I made my class rip up their timetables too, right? But then nobody knew where they were going for the next lesson, and there was kids wandering around the school lost, saying, oh, Mr. Kennedy made us rip up our timetables. I got in a fair amount of trouble with the headmaster that day, I can tell you. So what I say now is don't rip them up. Just look at them and just question some of the things on them, OK?
All right, quiet now. Hello, I am your teacher for the English Lit GCSE, Mr. Harris. Don't call me sir, call me Mr. Harris. Right, we've got a lot of work to get through in the syllabus, so let's get started, shall we? This is The Mill on the Floss.
Another toss.
By George Eliot. Please turn to page one. Come on, quieten down and concentrate. There'll be a test on this.
Okay, now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, if you're so cool, Ian, why are you wearing a tie? Well, I used to tell everyone in the class to take off their ties, but kids used to lose them and the headmaster called me in and made me pay for a load of lost ties. I was in quite a bit of trouble. So what I say now is just loosen your ties, loosen them up, but make sure that you do them right up again before the next lesson, because I don't think that Alan... I mean Mr. Harris. Yeah, I don't think he'd be too chuffed if you turned out with your ties off, would he? Hey?
Justine, are those fancy leggings, and they're not really proper school uniform, are they?
Piss off!
Well, I don't mind, they're a delight, but what if the head sees you?
Twat.
Yes, well, good. Onwards and upwards, then.
Right, OK, better get on. GCSE English Literature. This year the books are Jane Austen, George Eliot, Philip Larkin, Tom Stoppard, and Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. Oh, dear. They've fallen in the bin. In the rubbish where they belong with all the other useless trash. Come on, you lot, you do it too, come on. Yeah, come on. Who wants to read boring, out-of-date books? I don't. I want you to write your own Canterbury Tales. Come on, relevant to your lives today. About what you like. Not knights and princesses, no. Maybe it'll be about the internet. Or Ren and Stimpy. Doesn't even have to be set in Canterbury.
Will this be in the exam?
In the exam. Come on, laugh at him. See? Yeah. It's Patrick Nuffy, isn't it? Patrick Nuffy.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ian.
You think you're very clever, don't you, Patrick Nuffy?
No.
You think that school is boring, don't you, Patrick Nuffy?
No, I like it.
Yeah, you fancy yourself as a bit of a rebel, don't you, Patrick Nuffy?
No.
Well, let me tell you, Patrick Nuffy, you and I have got a lot more in common than you might think. Yeah, a bloody lot more.
Bloody?
That's right, I did say bloody.
Quiet, please. A fourpence rent rise will break us and... Look, come on, you, listen.
I'm listening, Mr. Harris.
I know, yeah. Michelle, I know.
Shut up, Michelle!
Look, come on, you lot. I'm getting bloody annoyed with you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Look, no, please.
Bloody Harris!
Please don't tell anyone about this. We'll forget about homework tonight.
OK, now, giving you work when you like, because I won't be marking it tonight. No, I will be going to the Civic Hall to see the Spin Doctors. Yeah. I bet you didn't think I'd like the Spin Doctors, did you? But I do. I like them a lot. I expect you like the Spin Doctors, don't you, Patrick?
No, not really, Ian.
Well, you should like them. They're good. I'm going with a couple of the girls from the sixth form for whom I've become the focus of their developing sexual needs. It's inevitable. I'm a 31-year-old man, not some spotty idiot schoolboy like you, Patrick Nuffy, with your face.
There'll be more from the teachers after this blast from the past. It's Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. You know, when this came out, I remember thinking it was great at the time. But now I listen back to it, I realise that I was entirely wrong. So, if you want to turn off the radio for a minute 37 seconds, then go ahead now.
Yeah, I want to princess here before you. That's what I said now. Princess, who adore you. Just go ahead now, one last. Diamonds in his pockets, and that's a breath now. This one said the most about you rockets, ain't in his head now.
Hey, if you want to stain my pig hinge, just go ahead now.
If you want to freeze my face bag, go ahead now.
If you want to stroke my tripe flake, go ahead now.
Got a princely racket, that's what I said now. Got some pixie love on his jacket, ain't in his head now. Your mother him, your father will condone you. How about that now? You marry me, your father will disown you. He'll eat his head now. Marry him, or marry me. I'm the one that left him, can't you see? I ain't got no pitch over the tree, but I know what a prince and lover ought to be. I know what a prince and lover ought to be. Said if you want to call that baby, just go ahead now. And if you like to tell that baby, just go ahead now. And if you wanna buy me flowers, just go ahead now. And if you like to talk for hours, just go ahead now.
I think that's quite enough of the Where Are They Now with their hair 1993 pop group The Spin Doctors. Let's see what the teachers did after the gig.
That was great, wasn't it, girls?
Yeah.
Great guitar solo. Pile driving riffs. Why don't you come back to mine anyway? I've got some of the old drawer, the weed, you know.
Sure.
Had that. Anyway, I'm peckish. Hey, three hot dogs, please, mate.
Yeah, sure.
Hey! It's Gary Harkin, yeah?
Oh, Mr. Kennedy.
Hey, I'd have thought you'd have gone off to college, not just selling hot dogs, Gary.
Yeah, well, I would have done, wouldn't I? But I failed my exams thanks to you.
Okay.
You ripped up the syllabus and made us write swear words on Charles Dickens' face,
all
remember?
All right, Gary, that's enough.
Yeah, yeah, don't hang around with him, girls. He's just trying to shag
you. All right, leave it out, Gary. Come on, I don't shag my pupils.
What?
Well, I used to, but the headmaster caught me in the toilets. I got in a lot of trouble on that occasion. I stop short of that these days.
I don't get to go out, really. Not on my wages. And the marking must be done. I know I'm not as popular with the kids as Mr. Kennedy. They call me Fatty Harris. Twatty Harris. I've seen some graffiti. But look at this. Andrew Mallett did this. Now, he's a below-average boy, this lad, but look at the effort he's put into this picture he's done of what he imagines George Eliot might look like. A bearded man in a top hat. It's wrong, of course. George Eliot was a woman. She used a man's name because of the prejudice of the times. Well, you know that. But look, he's used three or four different felts in this. It's the sort of thing that makes it all worthwhile.
Mark Radcliffe!
You should be speaking from the heart, bearing your soul, preaching the truth as you really feel it, not relying on your big nose, mate, to articulate the trauma of... I can't read your writing there, lad.
Let's have a look. That's youth and gubbins.
Oh, yeah. Not relying on your big nose, mate, to articulate the trauma of youth...
and gubbins.
Monday to Thursday, 10 till midnight, live music, comedy, poetry, celebrity readings and a boy called Lard, all mixed to our secret recipe.
Mark Radcliffe, 97.99 FM, Radio 1.
It's getting a bit late to ring in to us now, because we pretty much decided who's won, so check on, as we say in Somerset. But if you want to draw a picture or make a picture, send it into room 1006 Broadcasting House.
This is for tiny children.
W1A. You can be an adult and send a picture
draw a
as well.
Picture if you like.
And that address I gave you is also the address for a new campaign we've got.
Cause that's right.
We've had Esther Ransom with Hearts of Gold. She rewards people who do really good things. Yep. We've had the British criminal proceedings. They reward people for doing really bad things.
They reward them with punishments, don't they?
With, like, Rosemary West, life in imprisonment.
Right.
Doing something. What about people who do mediocre things? Well, me and Stu have instituted a new thing called Hearts of Paper.
That's right.
Which will go to people who've done mediocre things like
such as what? Someone could have, maybe they took in a letter for you while you were away.
And
not particularly, maybe.
Just something mediocre.
Maybe
like
they
that.
Didn't.
Maybe they did their own washing up when they came round to the house. Now, we want you to nominate a person, something they've really done, please. And the best one, we will send them the Lee and Herring
Heart of Paper.
And maybe have them in the studio, but...
Probably not. Can't afford the train.
Let's face it. So anyway, but Pete, you've got a quick appeal as well, haven't you?
That's right, yeah. Last week, the DSS wrote to me to say they'd found out I'd been on the telly and everything, and they've stopped my benefit. And I tried to explain that Richard and Stuart don't give me anything because money might corrupt me.
That's right.
Anyway, because of all this, I haven't eaten anything for about 8 days and I think I'm starving to death.
You look well.
Yeah, thank you. So, to try and put an end to hunger in my bedsit, I'm launching an appeal based on the Blue Peter appeal called the Peter Appeal.
Right.
Half of the money will go towards some chips, a pucker pie, a saveloy and a can of red Panda Pops. And the other half will be invested in making me more self-sufficient. I'm going to get some seeds and try to grow some pickles or something.
All right, that's fine. So
if you could send some money.
Send money in room 1006 Broadcasting House. And now the time is now coming up to 9:55 and 30 seconds.
Thanks, Rich. What were you doing on Sunday, Rich? Anything much?
Not a lot, mate.
That's interesting, because I seem to remember what I did that night was I jetted over to Paris for a night on the town with Vanessa Paradis and Elizabeth Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get home to my Ballon flat till nearly 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Let's see what top celebrity you had round that night, Rich.
It's good.
Hello! It's me, Rod Hull of Rod Hull and Emu and the Rod Hull and Emu Pink Windmill Show! Thanks for having me round for tea! I hope you've made some jelly! I love jelly!
Rod, where's Emu? He was invited too.
He didn't want to come, Richard! He's hurt his feather! One of his feathers! Yes, that's it!
Oh, that's a shame. I was looking forward to an unexpected and impromptu attack from the deranged bird, as always happens every time you come round together. It's hilarious.
Now, come on, Rich! Why go through the pretense? We both know it isn't Emu grabbing at your body and genitals when we come round!
What do you mean, Rod? Of course it is.
You play the innocent with me, you little tease. That's my arm in Emu.
Don't lie, Rod. As you well know, your arm is clearly visible flailing around outside Emu.
That's a rubber arm, as you know. Come on. We don't need Emu to enjoy ourselves. Come on.
Hey,
come on,
get off, Rod. Oh, what are you doing?
Off. Come on. You want it?
Well, and that was Rod Hull, was it there, Rich?
Yeah, it was,
Didn't sound like him, it sounded like someone screeching.
It was him. I didn't hire an actor to portray him once I realised I was being bugged in order to impress you with my celebrity friend, Rod Hull.
Well, clearly, I mean, you'd have had the imagination, wouldn't you, to come up with a better celebrity than Rod Hull, more impressive.
Maybe, and maybe you'd have been more friendly. Come on, Stu, Rod Hull, though, he's great.
Well.
The Lee and Herring Needlessly Provocative Sex Advice Spot. Herring. Herring involves the boy staying at home watching TV and playing Jungle Strike all the time, whilst the girl, who he has never met, goes out and has sex with a string of attractive lovers.
Last up tonight, this is called Sharks, it's by Morphine.
Is that the Mighty Morphine Power Rangers?
I'm getting a little tired of
this. Didn't know they'd done a record.
Yeah.
Sharks patrol these waters. Sharks patrol these waters. Don't let your fingers dangle in the water. And don't you worry about the Dayglow Orange Life Preserver. It won't save you. It won't save you. Swim for the shore just as fast as you are able. Swim like a mother. Swim.
A mother? Also.
Shut up. The winner of our competition tonight on the phone for the advent calendar, a picture of East 17 crying when they realise they'll never make the Christmas number one. Exactly. From Miriam Phillip.
Right.
So we'll send some stuff to you.
And do watch out for us, everyone, on the British Comedy Awards on Sunday, where we've been nominated for how many awards, Stu?
No awards, Rich.
No awards?
No.
And yet they've nominated Rory Bremner for one.
Yeah, there's been some kind of mistake.
Sure, that can't be right.
Oh, well.
Fast as that, the scene shifts to now, the ever-glorious now, the ever-present now. Dredged in flour and deep fat fried and cooled on paper towels and then devoured. You know, I spent 15 years in a life raft. 15 years in a life raft. Now I got something to say. Stay in your lifeboats, people. Stay in your lifeboats, people. It's murder out there, murder out there. Sharks patrol these waters. Sharks patrol these waters. Hey, don't you worry about the Dayglow Orange Life Preserver. It won't save you. It won't save you. Swim for the shores just as fast as you were able. Swim.
And, great. So, Linda, we got a final recipe from you?
For meat eaters who find it difficult to eat vegetables, I've got meat in the shape of vegetables, pork, carrots, beef, turnips.
That's excellent.
No ends.
Everything, all the family can eat together there. Today's show, this is the Lee and Herring Show, is brought to you by Richard Herring, Stuart Lee, Peter Bainham, Kevin Eldon, Veronica, Ronnie and Kona. Rod Hull, you were in, weren't you, right?
Yes, I was, and it was me!
It was him. Sally Phillips and Peter Seravina Witz were on the tape, and the show was produced by Christopher Neal. Enjoy opening your first advent calendar. On
goodbye.
Bye. Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.bestoffun.net.